Over the years, the church at large has experienced what some have called backslidden Christians or backsliders. And there have been various perceptions and understandings and even misunderstandings about that term and what characterizes that term. And so God, by His Spirit, I believe, wants to bring some clarity today in some areas that are related to what people might characterize as being backslidden. Now, the word backslide in a Christian context implies movement away from Christ rather than toward Him. Movement away from Christ rather than toward Him. A backslider is typically someone who is going the wrong way spiritually with reference to their professed relationship with Christ. Someone who is regressing rather than progressing in their life dynamic as a professed believer. Are you regressing or are you progressing? A backslider is someone who at one time had a demonstrated commitment to Christ, demonstrated commitment to Christ, and was maintaining a biblical standard of behavior, but has since proactively reverted to their old ways. But catch this now, that's different from a believer who stumbles in sin while proactively pursuing their walk of faith and staying on track with repentance. There's a difference. Amen? Now, backsliding can manifest itself in different ways. This is certainly not an exhaustive list. But backsliding can manifest in different ways, like dropping out of church fellowship or disengaging from meaningful fellowship with other believers, or becoming disinterested in the Lord's purposes for your life and more interested in the worldly attractions and carnal pleasures, and finding themselves reverting back to self-serving and self-satisfying old habits. These are some of the earmarks of someone that's backsliding. Make no mistake about it, a genuinely born-again believer who is backslidden, catch this now, has not lost their salvation. Aren't you glad to hear that? But rather, they're a believer who has gone cold in their fervor and life application to live their life for Christ. How many of you here know somebody like that? You don't have to lift your hand. A backslidden believer is typically someone who has fallen away, catch this now, fallen away from the consistent outworking of their professed faith in Christ. They're still professing faith in Christ, but they've fallen away from the consistent outworking of that profession. A genuine believer who has experienced, catch this now, a crisis of faith. A crisis of faith that has caused them to question their commitment to what they have professed to believe. In Mark chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus told His disciples, "You will all fall away." Well, that's a pretty astounding statement. When we think about Jesus, when we think about His disciples, when we think about how they left all that they knew to be familiar to follow after Jesus, and He said, "You will all fall away." What did He mean by that? One of the meanings was that as committed as they had been to following after Him, as committed as they had been to following after Him, they would encounter a crisis of faith that would challenge their commitment to Him. When they saw Him arrested, when they saw Him tortured, when they saw Him crucified, they would experience a crisis of faith. Not altogether different from what can happen in the life of a professed believer today. A life event that would cause them to question their belief in Him. Have you had a life event that has caused you to question what you've professed to believe in Christ? A life experience that would cause them to stumble in their walk with Him. Have you had a life experience that has caused you to stumble in your walk of faith in Christ? A life encounter that would cause them to question, doubt, and fall away from the walk that they once had with Him. Have you had a life encounter like that? That has caused you to shrink back from walking with the Lord the way you once did? The good news, catch this now. The good news is that the falling away of Jesus' disciples was a temporary condition. Amen? 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead. And once again, He appeared to His disciples. And their faith and hope were restored stronger than ever to resume their walk with Him. Amen?
Amen.
And the same is true for us today, I believe. As believers. No matter what life experience, no matter what life event, no matter what life encounter has caused you to doubt or stumble or fall away, He is perfectly faithful to restore your hope and to resume your walk with Him. Amen? Because you are His and He will never leave you or forsake you. Amen?
Amen.
Do you really believe that here today? As genuine, born-again, devoted followers of Jesus Christ, catch this now, we have a responsibility to do whatever we can to retrieve our backslidden brothers and sisters in Christ. And Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, encourages us along these lines. Paul speaking to the church at Galatia and believers of his time, and God by His Word and by His Spirit speaking to us believers today, that if another believer is overtaken by misconduct of any kind, then you who are responsive to the Holy Spirit and you who are controlled by the Holy Spirit should gently and humbly, let's say that together, gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path so that he can be restored and reinstated in the fellowship of faith. And catch this now. Being careful yourself, watch out, being careful yourself not to fall away into the same temptation. Is there someone that you know personally who is a professed believer that has fallen away into a life of misconduct? Have you done whatever you can to try and get them back on the right track? Oh, Spirit of God, come and search our hearts and help us to reach those that need to be reached. James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20 motivates us further along these lines, I believe. The Apostle James, speaking to believers of his time, God by His Word and by His Spirit, speaking to us today, that if any one of you wanders or strays away from the truth and falls into error, another one of you should bring him back. For the one who turns that person from the error of his way, catch this now, will save him from destruction. If we just leave a backslider to themselves, they will certainly run a much greater risk of incurring detrimental and harmful consequences. The backslider has wandered from where he should be and is roaming around in territories where he shouldn't be. But we who have remained faithful in the body of Christ have a God-ordained responsibility to do whatever we can with grace and truth in love. Grace and truth in love. Let's say that together. Grace and truth in love to help navigate them back to the path of righteous and holy living. Because that's what God is calling all of us to who profess Jesus as our Savior and Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Be reminded afresh today, we are all parts of the body of Christ. And whatever affects one of us, one way or the other, affects the whole body. Amen?
Amen.
There are times in our lives as genuine believers, I believe, when certain events in our life, situations and circumstances that may cause us to question the Lord in our walk of faith with Him, and that's okay. How many of you here with me have questioned the Lord at times since you've come to walk with the Lord? Various situations and circumstances. What's going on, Lord? And that's okay. Catch this now. As long as we're bringing our questions to Him, rather than using those questions as excuses to continue living in rebellion. You know someone like that? A professed believer that's using the unanswered questions of the situations and circumstances that they're in as an excuse to continue living in rebellion. Lord have mercy. As a genuine born-again believer who is maintaining a biblical worldview and an eternal perspective, catch this now, if you're a genuine born-again believer and you're maintaining a biblical worldview about your life and an eternal perspective, the result of a crisis of faith in your walk with the Lord should be that you come to know the Lord more intimately than before the crisis of faith. Amen?
Yes.
That should be the result.
Yes.
Rather than walking away in disillusionment, we should be pressing in for clarity by the Word of God and through prayer. And we should be seeking the wisdom of trusted brothers and sisters in Christ in the fellowship of faith, particularly seeking out those whose walk with the Lord is a little further along than ours. Amen? Understand afresh today, saints of God, that there are some people who may be considered to be backslidden. Those who have the outward religious appearance of being a Christian, but have not committed themselves inwardly to the Lordship of Christ. There's a lot of religious Christians out there, outwardly, but they haven't inwardly committed themselves to the Lordship of Christ. Such a person might be attending church and listening to Christian music and even hanging out with friends who are Christian. Someone who likes the wholesome atmosphere and the good company that being around Christians affords him. But he has not allowed his heart to be changed by the Holy Spirit. And so he's not really backslidden, because he was never born again to begin with.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. People who profess Christianity as their religion, but have never made a personal decision to accept Jesus Christ as Savior and submit their lives to His Lordship. People who appear to be living generally Christian lives, but who are not born again. And so they have the appearance of being Christian, but they're not true born again Christians. There's only one true kind of Christianity. It's born-again Christianity. Born-again Christianity. Let's say that together. Born-again Christianity. Jesus was the first person to say those words, born again, in John chapter 3, when He was speaking to Nicodemus. He said, you must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Sometimes we shrink back from saying those words in the culture that we live in. But we can lovingly and confidently say, are you born again? How many of you have asked someone, are you born again? Are you born again? Have you ever asked someone that? And it's amazing because when the person is born again, they go, yeah, I'm born again. Anybody ever run across that? And all of a sudden, the same Holy Spirit that's in them, that's in you, all of a sudden there's a connection, right?
Yes.
But then there's some people you say, are you born again? And they look at you like you have three heads.
Yeah.
They look at you cross-eyed in some other way. So that's the indicator for you. That although they may have this appearance of being Christian, they haven't been regenerated in their spirit. It's a simple thing. Are you born again? Amen?
Amen.
The only kind of true Christianity is born again Christianity. Amen? In Matthew chapter 13, make a note of it. Jesus described the ultimate sorting out of true and false believers and the day of judgment that's to come in his parable of the tares and the wheat. Now, when you look at tares and wheat in the natural, it's amazing how the Lord used these two plants as an example. Tares and wheat are essentially indistinguishable from one another, except for the kind of fruit they bear. The fruit of the tares, catch this now, is tiny black seeds that lack substance. And when they're eaten, it causes nausea and dizziness. But the fruit of the wheat is a substantive grain that is nourishing. Amen? The posture of the tares, physically, as they're in the field, is straight up and proud. The posture of the wheat is bowed in humility. Amen? The tares represent false believers. The wheat represents true believers. One leads to death and the other leads to life. Amen? There's another example in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23. Make a note of it. Jesus describes the distinction between true and false disciples. And he says, on judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we did so many things in your name. But Jesus' reply to them will be, I never knew you because you never knew me. For you did not do the will of the Father in heaven for your life in me. Whoa, what a startling response. There are true believers and false believers. There are true Christians and false Christians. And we can know how to make the distinction so that we can win some to Christ. Amen? And so that we can draw back the backslidden to be back walking with Christ. Amen?
Amen.
As genuine born again followers of Jesus Christ, there are times when we will stumble in sin. But we are not to be characterized by a sinful lifestyle. As a professed follower of Jesus Christ, how would someone looking in on your life characterize it? As a professed follower of Jesus Christ, how would someone looking in on your life characterize it? A genuine life in Christ is not to be identifying with the fallen ways of worldliness. How much of the world have we allowed to creep into our lives? Jesus cautions us from Mark chapter 4, verse 19. Make a note of it. Mark chapter 4, verse 19, that if we allow the ways of the world to creep into our lives as believers, then the seed of God's word that is in us will get choked out and we will become unfruitful. Where we once were fruitful, we can become unfruitful as believers if we allow the deceitfulness of riches, the pride of life, the desire for worldliness and other things to creep into our lives that would choke out the Word of God to the point that we become unfruitful. Haven't lost our salvation. We're just not fruitful. Certainly, as genuine born-again believers, we are forgiven no matter how many times we sin. Aren't you glad for that?
Amen.
Now, don't use that as an excuse to keep on sinning.
Right.
But if you're a genuine born-again believer, spirit-filled, repentant believer, you are forgiven no matter how many times you sin. But we need to take good care not to abuse God's grace and mercy to justify a backslidden life. Maybe you know someone like that. Ultimately, if a believer remains backslidden, they are repelling the counsel of God, and they will suffer the consequences. God, by His Word and by His Spirit, is exhorting us along these lines from Proverbs chapter 1, verses 23 to 33. Make a note of it. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 23 to 33. I'm going to be reading from the Living Bible, which is a paraphrase, and it goes like this. God speaking and saying, "Come here and listen to my wisdom. I have called you so often, but still you won't come. You have turned down my counsel and my reproof. You have not chosen to reverence and trust the Lord. You have turned your back on me, and you have refused my advice." Catch this now. "That is why you must eat the bitter fruit of having your own way. For you have turned away from me. But for all who listen to me, you shall have peace and safety."
Amen?
Amen. Instead of backslidden, our lives as genuine born-again believers should be characterized by forward traction. Amen?
Amen?
Forward traction. Let's say that together. Forward traction. And if you don't have forward traction, at least you should be able to stand your ground. Amen?
Yes.
Stand your ground. Let's say that together. Stand your ground. Say it again. Stand your ground. Amen? In Christ Jesus, your Savior and Lord. Forward traction. Stand your ground. Amen?
Amen?
Yielding ourselves progressively to the overcoming power of the Holy Spirit in us, giving us the capacity to sin less and less, and actuating the potential that is in us to be more and more holy in all that we would think and say and do. Amen?
Amen.
Be holy as God is holy. Amen?
Amen? Yes.
As good stewards over the fellowship of faith, we should have serious concerns about anyone who claims to be a believer and yet lives a life that indicates otherwise. Now, there's been some controversy on different sides of the aisle in born-again Christianity. There are some Bible scholars. Sometimes I wonder how they get that title, but... Anybody here ever wonder? Bible scholar? Okay. We'll see. Holy Spirit is my Bible scholar. I don't know about you. But there are some professed Bible scholars, and don't get me wrong, there are some legitimate ones. I think there's some illegitimate ones as well. But some Bible scholars have concluded that a chronic backslider runs the risk of rejecting their salvation in Christ. In other words, a believer can't lose his salvation, but he can choose to give up his salvation. Now, there are some in that camp. While others contend that if a backslidden person is truly born again, then they would never reject Christ.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
But eventually they will be restored to a working faith. But I say either way, God keeps the books.
Okay.
Amen.
Amen?
When we get there, we'll see who's there. Amen.
Yeah.
The bottom line is that if you are truly born again, you don't lose your salvation when you backslide into a sinful lifestyle.
Right.
Because if you confess your sin and repent of it, then God is perfectly faithful to forgive you and to cleanse you from your unrighteousness. Aren't you glad for that?
Amen.
Make no mistake about it, saints of God. The backslidden believer doesn't lose his salvation. He loses his joy. He forfeits the fullness of God's intended blessing for his life. And catch this now. The backslidden believer hinders the body of Christ from functioning optimally. Because God has something for them to do in the body of Christ as well. Amen? Those who truly belong to Christ remain with Christ. And those who end up renouncing Christ likely never had true faith in Christ to begin with. Can anybody say amen to that?
Amen.
In closing, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 to 13, encourages us along these lines. The Apostle Paul encouraging Timothy then, God by His Spirit encouraging us afresh today, that if we die in Christ, we will also live with Him. If we endure in this life for His sake, we will reign with Him. Amen? But if we deny Him, He will deny us. And if we are faithless, He still remains perfectly faithful.
Amen?
Amen. Bow your heads and take a quiet moment of prayer reflection now upon the word of the Lord as it's come to you today. Thank you, Lord.